I'm in the corner house and I'm standing with Dr. Joseph McGonagall, and he's just taken me through three epic floors of, well, an intense Algerian experience. Can you just give me a quick rundown of what we've just seen?
Oh, thanks, Christian. Yes, well, each floor is organised according to different themes. The first floor is organised according to journeys, and particularly male journeys. So we have four artists there whose work explores with the theme of travel and migration. The second floor focuses on resources, physical and natural resources, because Algeria has significant numbers of those, but also human resources as well. And the final floor, which is where we are now, focuses on memories, and particularly the role of women as vectors of memory and transmitters of oral histories.
There's some incredible multimedia here. We've got projections, we've got rear projections, we've got the really interesting use of QR codes, which are taking you to more and more digital content outside of the massive print you may be looking at. You can be taken into other media behind there. Interesting, because I followed Dr. John Perivaralis' journey, his own journey. He was doing a lot of social media along the way as well. Was that off the cuff, or was this planned into the whole experiment?
Well, it was very much envisaged as a kind of welcome part of the whole experience. I mean, you know John, you know, as well as myself, and it's a great pleasure to work with. And as part of the planning for before he departed in June 2010 for that month long journey to Algeria from Corner House, we experimented with tools such as Google Maps, because obviously Edward and I, as with our expertise in terms of Franco-Algerian history, you know, there are many corners of France which aren't apparent to John, which are, you know, loaded with significance in terms of, you know, sites of memory and for example. So we used tools on the internet, you know, with that regard, but also his journey became a dialogue with ourselves, because he sent postcards, we sent him postcards, he used the Shoot It app on his iPhone, for example. He blogged a lot, he created video content as well, which he uploaded. So in some ways, we felt we were on the journey with him, and it was great that he more or less every day for the 31 days uploaded content. So it was a really lovely regular stream of content and of ideas and experiences. And during his journey, he actually met a lot of the artists who were participating in the show. Right. So in a way, the show is kind of a reunion, really, of them and of their work. And it's great that we finally see John's work culminate in this fantastic installation.
How long is this show on for?
It's on until the 5th of June, so it's nearly 2 months in terms of length. We've got a wide range of engagement programme events as well, which accompany the show. Some of those have taken place already during the opening weekend. But, for example, we have a curator's tour on the 19th of May, mm-hmm. Thursday the 19th of May, where Edward and I will be leading visitors around in English around the exhibition. There's an accompanying Arab and Maghrebi film season that I've organised with another colleague at Manchester, Dalia Mustafa, which will be showing six or seven films from Algeria, from elsewhere in North Africa and the Middle East as well.
What is the role of the curator? What do you have to do?
That's a difficult question, Christian.
I like asking those kind.
The artist may be listening.
You're a shepherd of temperamental creatives.
I couldn't possibly comment.
I see. That's maybe we'll have this discussion offline, because I'm genuinely fascinated, and it sounds like it involves more facets than I would think. Is the art being displayed in the way that you would have liked it displayed, or purely as the artist would have liked it displayed? Is there a conversation around this?
Well, to answer that question, and also to start partially answering the previous question, you know, Edward and I, our day job is academics, you know, and we work in French departments, so we're not even in our history department, and obviously, cultural beings, you know, we visit exhibitions, we have an opinion on what we like and what we don't like, but this was the first time we'd ever embarked upon this kind of initiative before, so it has been a real learning curve for us, but an extremely enjoyable one. To answer the second question, depends on the artist. For some artists, some artists are very specific about how their work is shown. They will come before the opening and position the work. So, for instance, we're here in Gallery 3 looking at Amina Minia's work, a young emerging Algerian artist from Algiers. She has this huge vista, photographic vista, on one wall, and then she has three photographic reproductions of gravestones mounted on billboards. Now, she came a few days ahead of time and asked for some aspects of the installation to be tweaked and positioned these billboards herself. And so really the work there was negotiating several weeks in advance what space she would have and how she would fill it. Other artists are much more open to negotiation, and I we realise now also expect the curator to lead them. So it's actually quite personality driven. Working with artists, you can't categorise them all as being a particular way.
No.
But I have to say that we did really enjoy working with all 10 of them, and fortunately 8 of them were able to join us on the night as well, so which was fantastic.
And a really interesting story behind one of the gentlemen that couldn't make it, because he's got a really striking piece of artwork, a huge map, and so much information on this map, and yet his visa was denied for coming here because of his particular profile.
Yeah, I mean, basically, profile's the word, because the refusal of his application is a good example of the profiling that's currently being used by the UK Border Agency in terms of denying certain foreigners the right to visit the country. Zinedine, like Amina, who I was just discussing, is a recent graduate of a fine art school in Algiers. And unlike Amina, Zinedine is single, doesn't have children, isn't married, and also isn't in a particularly well-paid job. And unfortunately, the UK Border Agency were not convinced, first of all, that he was an artist, even though he has participated in exhibitions before. And also weren't convinced of his relationship with Corner House, even though they were convinced of it in the case of Amina, because Amina was sent the same letter of support, and they proved her application. So basically, the UK Border Agency did not believe that Zinedine had enough reasons to return home to Algeria, and so his request to stay 4 days just for the opening, all expenses paid, hotel booked, flights booked, was refused at the last minute, so there was no time for an appeal.
He couldn't even see the inspiration that he'd given to others. I can't imagine how gutting that must feel. No, you cannot go to your exhibition. What is potentially a massive break for someone who needs this kind of push to better himself. I think UK border agencies should be ashamed of themselves. And anyway, it makes the work even more powerful in one way because of that. And, you know, if you are listening to this, great, great work. And you cannot see the look on the faces of the people you're impressing, but believe me, there's a lot of them. How many people do you expect to walk through the doors here?
Well, I was delighted to learn that we had over 1,300 people on the preview night. And comparing it to similar exhibitions at similar times of year, Corner House predict around 20,000 visitors during its 2-month run, which would be fantastic. And it's certainly far more people than would normally read anything I write in my day job, so this is a very pleasant change.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm educated all the more for being here. Thank you very much for sharing this.
Thank you, Christian. It's been a pleasure.